Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
Ashley Bufa is the mother of 10 children. Yes, 10. A business owner and a dedicated non-perfectionist home systems extraordinaire. She is passionate about teaching overwhelmed moms how to transform themselves from a minion martyr mindset into confident, capable, respected home CEOs. I am so happy and excited to introduce you to Ashley Bufa. Let's go take a chat. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. All right, Ashley, welcome to Couch Time. I actually wish that we were sitting on the couch together. But we're going to pretend through Zoom that we are. And I am so excited to have you on. Because when I met you in a mastermind, I think it was back in May, I was so impressed with what you have accomplished and what you've done. And I think that every mom in the world needs to hear your message.
Wow.
No, I'm serious. It is something that I wished, like I started empty nesting this week, but I even took home one of your things. And I was like, oh yes, I'm getting me that right now. And I don't even have kids at home anymore. And we'll get to that because it's been a godsend, but just giving moms permission to do, and I don't want to spoil, I'm going to let you talk and introduce yourself a little bit. I've already told them you have 10 children and like, you are the master mom.
I try to be. Some days I achieve that and other days are failures, but you know, I mean, that's part of life. So
perfection in momming.
Yes, exactly. Keep your standards high and that gives you room to fall a little bit from grace occasionally. <Yes.
laughs> Right. And I think like for me, when my kids were younger, I was not a good stay-at-home mom. Like that's not where I excelled. And I felt like I had to do everything myself.
Well, when you have young kids, you kind of do have to do everything yourself unless you get help early on. Because those early years, those are tough for any. I don't know that anyone ever truly is completely prepared for the marathon and almost like it's like running the gauntlet. You know, in the early years of parenthood, because you don't know what you're doing, but you have to know what you're doing, you know? So it really, I feel like as women, that's probably always going to be the hardest time of our lives, is learning how to mom in those early years.
Absolutely. And just the pressure we put on ourselves. And I mean, I think I beat myself up more than not just by what I didn't know or what I didn't get right or how I handled some. I probably found this negative loop almost every single day.
Yeah. The negative loop is hard to get out of too, because there's so much, you know, especially today. Like, I feel like it maybe wasn't so bad when I was first early momming. The internet wasn't quite as robust as it is now. But I feel like we almost get reinforced to stay in that negative loop.
Yes.
Which that doesn't help anybody really. So yeah, we need to kind of take that back and rewrite how that, you know what I mean? The script for that, because I don't think it's not doing the kids any favors, and it's definitely not doing mom any favors to get there and just kind of, you know, dig in and hear those, you know, it's okay. You can keep, you know, wearing those yoga pants for 2 more weeks. It'll, you know, like, you're doing the best you can. It's like, well, I mean, you can put on clean pants.
Right. Clean pants. You know, and I think I took that negative loop. And for me, I went and I did the next thing I knew how to do. And that was to wear my badge of busy with honor.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I am so busy, I must be making something work right. I must be doing good. I'm busy, busy, busy.
We want to feel good about ourselves in some way, right?
Right.
Exactly. So anybody can be busy.
Yes. And it didn't hit me until I think I was at a volunteer event at my kids' elementary school, and I won a pin. And I was like, they called my name. I was like, what? I didn't even know it was a thing. And I won a pin for volunteering 500 hours that school year.
Oh my gosh.
Who knows that?
How's that even possible? Like,
I know.
You should have gotten more than a pin.
I was like, I still have this. And I actually keep it up in my house, in my office at my house, like front and center to remind myself, like, that was the identity that I had.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's a lot.
It was awful.
Yeah,
and after that, I was like, What do I do? And then I made everybody mad. So one of the things that you talk about that I love is how having a well-run home is essential for good mental health.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, let's take what you just said, which was earning a pin for 500 volunteer hours. Was that good for your mental health?
No.
Okay. So let's say instead that you applied those 500 hours, which you wouldn't even need 500 hours, let's be honest. Let's say you applied some of those hours to your home and making it so that when you open up your pantry door, you're like, ooh, it looks like Instagram in here, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, I have my things where I'm like, oh, that just makes me feel so good. You know, like a sitting room where you can go after a long, hard day of work and sit down with a cocktail and just like, relax, because everything's beautiful. It's in its place. You're not tripping over shoes to get there, right? So like that right there, having a place where you can go after your day and it's not somewhere else. Like, it's literally, it is in your home. It's under your own roof. You don't have to go to Target and shop to feel, you know, because Target's beautifully organized. You don't have to go to Target to get that feeling, or, you know, there's obviously nothing wrong with going to restaurants. I love going to restaurants, but what if like, you could literally find that place in your own home to recharge after a long day and not get frustrated or not start to feel judged by your own house because it's messy and it needs to be cleaned up. Like, what if that was actually, I mean, that's like heaven on earth, right? Yeah. That's where the saying home sweet home and there's no place like home. That's where that came from, because that's what our homes used to be. They used to be our sanctuary. They used to be our favorite place in the whole world. And we've gotten so far away from that. And I think that that truly does affect our mental health, because we don't have homes as recharging centers, except for our iPhones. You know, it's not to recharge us anymore. It's almost like the place we want to get away from, because it reminds us of things we need to do or things we're not doing well, or, you know, and I'm not by any means saying that it needs to all be done by you.
Right.
Right. I am a huge, huge, huge proponent of having a domestic support team, having people come in, like giving people jobs, having people come in and help you. Somehow in the United States, we've gotten away from that being a norm. And it's the norm, like in most places in the world.
Right.
It's like, that's the first thing that, you know, if you have a little bit of extra wiggle room in your budget in other parts of the country, that's the first thing that you end up spending money on. Here, it's, you know, cars and a new phone every 6 months and, you know, all that other stuff. When, you know, our home, making our home that mecca almost, mm-hmm. should be high on our priority list, because it really does. It affects your mental health in so many ways that people don't even think about anymore.
Absolutely. And I can say for me, I got those 500 hours because I didn't want to be at home. I'm not good. As my husband says, I have no domestic skills. It's not that I don't have them. I don't want them. I don't.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's not where I want to spend my time.
Right.
And I can tell you now, because I do have help at home. And after I met you, I've had a person that's helped me clean once a week. And now she comes 3 days a week. And it is the
best. I'm so proud of you.
Ever.
I'm so proud of you.
My husband's like, we should have done this years ago.
That's what everybody says. Everybody that I've met, whether it's me who has helped them find their people and train their people, or they do it on their own. That literally is the phrase that I hear over and over and over again. We should have done this years ago. Like, nobody's like, you know, I really just don't need the extra help. Nobody ever says that. Everybody's always saying, we should have done this sooner.
Right. And what I really loved about it is when I went to her and I was like, hey, I have this idea and I don't know what you do because the kids are getting ready to leave, but I got all kinds of things I don't want to do around here. And I really want to go spend time on the business and spend time going and like moving my kids to three different places out of state. I want to be able to do that. And what do you think about coming here? And she started crying. She was like, I ended up being able to give her a way out of another job that she was in that was toxic for her. I'm getting chills. She is so thankful and she is so sweet. And this morning I'm so spoiled. She's like, I already made your smoothie for you to leave for work. And I'm like, yes.
Yes. So, that right there, that's good mental health, right?
I mean, yeah, I love it. I come home, my bed's made 3 days a week. The other four, not so much. And it's like, oh, this
is, you got it nailed. I'm like,
this is so pretty.
It's transformative, which, right. You know, it seems like something so basic wouldn't have that big of an impact on your life. But if you think about it historically, homes have always been the center of life for people, you know, whether that's a tent, mm-hmm. or a cave or a castle, right? I mean, that's where you want to get back to, your home base.
Yeah.
In the last, I don't know, like 20 to 50 years, probably, where it's instead become a place that we try to get away from. I want to be there. It reminds me of, you know, everything that's not done. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. My eyes don't know where to focus. My brain hurts just being, you know, and so it's transformative.
Lost in the chaos. So tell me a little bit more about this, how being a one-woman show is not the way to achieve a well-run home. Tell me more about that concept.
Well, at its most basic level, you're not the one that makes the whole mess, right? I mean, unless you live by yourself, but even then, maybe you have a dog or cat. Like, it's not, why should one woman have to be responsible for picking everything up when it's not one woman making the whole mess? That doesn't make any sense, right? And we all have different gifts. This is an area in my life where I have developed. I'm very domestic. I love doing it. It gives me chills. Like, I just love, but I still have helpers, right? Not just my 10 kids. I have outside help coming in. But I think it's important as people that we use our gifts. And we use our natural, the places where we're naturally interested, right? So if you, Amy, have no natural interest in the running of your home, why should you try and like force that to happen when you could give employment to someone else and it blesses them by helping them out of a bad, toxic, I mean, right? So you could force yourself to do that and create your own bad, toxic work environment by doing that, by forcing yourself to do that. Or you could bless yourself and bless this person that you have found. You know what I mean? Like, there's no point in trying to shove yourself into that role if it's not one that you were originally created and gifted to own.
And definitely not. And she loves it. Like she says, cleaning makes me happy. I mean, she gets so much joy. You could just see it. I'm like, I don't understand, but okay, you do you. And I'm happy you're here.
Yes. Everyone benefits when we work in our area of genius, really, but right. It's also our area of passion, you know, because I mean, but now you're seeing the benefits and feeling the benefits. So you having this in your home is becoming your area of passion, right? So yeah. Like you're really starting to enjoy that. And I just think that it's great that you were able to do that for this woman and help her get out of that awful situation and give her one that, you know, now she's working for someone who treats her well and where she can really, really enjoy what she's doing instead of being over there, you know? So it's one of these, it's kind of like a mindset shift that you have to have. It's not just like, I've talked to so many people who are like, well, you know, I just feel really bad, you know, having someone come in and do my laundry and run my home and cook my dinners when, you know, so much of the world is starving or suffering from COVID or whatever it is, plug it in. But what they don't realize is that you're not just receiving that blessing yourself. You're giving it to someone else by, you know, providing that for them as a way to earn their income doing something that they love. So it's, you know, it's kind of a mindset shift for some people, but once you start experiencing those benefits, it's the, why didn't we start this sooner?
Yeah, absolutely. So is that one of the ways we start to normalize it too? Like outsourcing home tasks, we can normalize that. Cause now I'm like, what else could I outsource? What else can I do? And I found all kinds of stuff that mm-hmm. I've been doing that's not really in my zone of want or my zone of genius. Mm-hmm. And by having other people help me, I've really kind of created like an ecosystem around me to support the fact that this is what I was made to do. Like, I would rather sit in here and talk to you all day long or talk to women or talk to people and help them solve those problems that, like, how can we help you find joy? Because I've been the woman that had no joy, like couldn't even answer the question. And part of it was, you talked about the pantry that was like, I like that mind just was everything was falling out of it. But I know that feeling because when I'd clean my closet once a year and it wasn't just the dumping place for everything, and I'd spend the entire day because that's how bad it was. And I would just go in there for a couple of days and look at it, and I would get that feeling of, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah. It's like going, when you do that with your closet, it's like going to a boutique.
Yeah.
You know, where everything's on velvet hangers and, right. So why wouldn't you want to create that in your own home?
It never.
We have to get dressed every day, right? Yeah. Why not make it the best experience possible?
I'm going to be honest, until I met you, I never thought of it that way. I just thought those were those two happy days until I went back to making it the dumping ground. Yeah. Now it's like stays that way because I have somebody that helps me. And it's like, I can just be me and own the fact that I'm messy. I'm not dirty. I don't like dirt and dust, but I'm messy. Right. My husband is not. He's Mr. Neat Freak. So everything just is happier. So what would you say to someone who's listening and they're like, yeah, these two people are kind of off their rockers and I'm not going to do that. I should be able to handle this. Cause I know like my best friend is this way. She's like, I would love to have somebody to clean my house, but then I feel like I have to clean it first. Or what would you say?
So that's really common. And the reason why she feels like she has to clean it first is because she doesn't know how to keep it clean in the first place. Mm-hmm. Right. That happens a lot if you just have someone coming in once a week or every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks is the worst. It's just like teasing. Like, this is what you could have, but you don't. So what needs to happen there is if there is enough in the budget to have someone come in multiple times a week, that's what you should be doing. And it's really not that expensive. You know, you can find somebody that's in college or even in high school, as long as you give them a detailed list of what actually needs to be accomplished. Like, I mean, anybody can do that, right? It's not rocket science. So, you know, if you don't have a huge budget, having someone come in for a few hours, several times a week, like that's a great way to keep it that way so that you don't have to clean before the cleaners come, right? The other thing is, if you don't have the wiggle room in your budget, then you need to learn how to keep it clean. That is a skill. You know, it's not something that has to do necessarily with personality. I used to be terrible, but then I decided I'm not doing this. I'm going, and I didn't have the wiggle room in my budget at the time. So I had to learn how to do that, how to build habits around keeping things clean and organized. But you know, if once a week or once every 2 weeks is all that you have budget for, then you should definitely do that. Mm-hmm. But then you should also learn how to keep it up. Because the thing is, it is so much easier to keep a clean house clean than it is to clean a dirty / messy house.
Yes.
Right. So developing those habits, especially if you have somebody who's coming in once a week or once every 2 weeks, it's so much easier to develop the habit then than it is to develop the habit to keep things picked up with absolutely no one coming at all. Then it really is all on you. And the chances of you succeeding in that situation, I mean, that just, it's not impossible, but it takes a lot of grit and determination. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like losing 100 pounds, right? I mean, it's not impossible, but you have to really do a lot of internal work to be able to have your mind in the right place to be able to accomplish a goal like that. That is kind of how I equate learning the habits, following through on the habits, and actually being able to get to the finish line with absolutely no help, you know? So it's not impossible.
But why?
Exactly.
Why do this to yourself? Right. And I wish I'd have given myself permission before. And honestly, when I went to talk to her about this, after meeting you, I felt guilty. Because I'm like, my kids are going to be out of here by the end of summer. Like, I don't need this now. But yes, I do. I have run two businesses. So I'm like,
you know, what you said earlier to Amy about how do we normalize this? I think this is how we normalize this, by talking about it, you know, and just having that conversation. Because I don't know if you remember this, but 15 years ago, it wasn't nearly as normal to have someone come and help you with like your yard work. Yeah. Right now, a lot of people hire that out. A lot of people have a professional come in and do the grass, trim the hedges, you know, all of that stuff. That has become more normal because people started doing it, but then they also started talking about it. Yeah. Right. And same thing with, like, you know, what I would consider to be basic home maintenance, like cleaning out the gutters and, you know, slapping a new coat of paint on the house, cleaning the windows. All of that 100 years ago was stuff that you did yourself, and you did it. Like, yeah, people took care of their stuff,
yeah,
100 years ago, right? But that was all stuff that you did as a homeowner. And now, like, hardly anybody ever paints the exterior of their home anymore, right? Yeah. They just hire a painter to do it because that's hard. And yeah, same thing with like cleaning windows, right? It's become normalized because people just started, you know, had the house painted, and you know, they started talking about it, they started doing it. So I think it's really important for those of us who have found this Garden of Eden in the walls of our home to talk about it and to normalize it and to keep talking about it. And even when, you know, we meet resistance from people when they say, oh, well, you know, I should be able to just do it myself. That's when you're like, no, wait, hold on. Let's dig a little bit deeper here. Because if we keep having those conversations, more and more women are going to feel like we've basically given them permission to do it too, and to think about it and to actually have it happen and change their own lives.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons I was like, I have to have her on here, because there's so many people that need to hear this and just give themselves permission to get help. Because it used to be, and it is definitely, like you said, other parts of the world. Because I know when they almost moved us to China once, and then they almost moved us to the Philippines, and every one of those, we were going to have drivers and cleaners and people to cook the meals. And I was like, in my house, like with me? And I was not sure about that. But now I'd be like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. Where's the driver?
Please bring that on. So one of the other things that I was really impressed with you is, I have always been a big proponent of my children doing chores and having a place in the house, because they help mess it up. And I think it provides them a lot. I will tell you, my husband has this stance of, it's easier to do it than myself than to expect them to do it and then have to do it again. We total different parenting styles. But I also see that like in couples I've seen, or when I used to do play therapy with kids, I would hear this a lot. So talk to me and tell everybody that's listening a little bit about what are the benefits of chores for your children's future?
Well, I'm not sure why this specific attitude has been directed so much towards chores, because, you know, in terms of parenting, if you think about like, it's easier to read a book mm-hmm. to your five-year-old than to teach your five-year-old how to read.
Yeah.
So what, are you just not going to teach your five-year-old how to read?
Yeah.
No, like either you teach them or they go to school and they learn how to read, even though like, so I homeschool, so I'm teaching my seventh kid how to read right now. It's not a fun process. It's really not. Like, it's super rewarding, but the whole process is not fun. But you do it anyway, because the kid needs to learn. We're starting to see some of the parents who don't ever teach their kids how to manage money.
Oh, right. Yes.
And they're 50, 60 years old and still footing their 20 and 30 year olds' bills mm-hmm. where they're living in their basement or whatever. I mean, that's becoming more of the norm. Oh,
yes, it is.
Because it's a lot easier for parents to just pay the bills than it is to let their child feel a little bit of discomfort mm-hmm. over not being able to pay their own bills.
Yeah.
Should we keep doing that? No, we shouldn't. We've got to get into the point where we equate parenting with hard work. Uh-huh. Because it is. Like, parenting is not easy, and it shouldn't be easy. So yeah, is it hard to teach your kid how to do the dishes and do it well? Yeah, it is. And for the first year or two, like, they're going to be pretty bad at it. And you got to take them back in there and show them again and again. But from where I'm sitting now, I've graduated 4 kids completely off of the dish rotation. All of my teenagers don't do dishes anymore because mm-hmm. they've put in their time. They're master dishwashers and they don't get to graduate off until they are.
Yeah.
But at any moment, if any of my current 3 dishwashers get sick or has something else they have to do, I don't have to step in and do dishes because one of my well-trained teenagers can do it. And because of that, those teenagers, I mean, my teens know how to do everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they know how to change the oil, wash the dishes, vacuum out the car. My oldest teen still vacuums my van every single week. They know how to do all of this stuff, mop the floors, vacuum, do the windows, polish the furniture, do the laundry. I mean, they know how to do all of this, which means that when they leave the nest, they can do that in their own home. They're not like, well, shoot, I don't know what to do. Or they live in filth. I mean, because it's easier to learn as you're growing and to do it and get so much practice. So if you don't teach your kids how to do any chores, basically you're kind of telling them that taking care of your house doesn't matter. It's not important. You're not giving them any of those skills. I mean, it's almost like not sending them to school, you know, yeah. I mean, we send kids to school so that they can learn how to get a job one day or create a business or whatever. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we put them through the school of taking care of your stuff? You know, it's
absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's funny, and this is embarrassing at this point that we didn't admit, but when we took our son to college last year, he's a sophomore this year, we went to make his bed and I'm like, here's the sheets or whatever, make bed. He didn't know how. He didn't know the difference between a fitted sheet and a flat sheet. And I kept thinking, why do you not know how to make the bed? Like, this is surely something. But no, because somebody had been coming in once a week to clean, or well, I started with every 2 weeks. And then they'd come in, they would change his sheets then. He never had to make his bed. And I was like, we have failed as parents. Like, he does not know the difference between the top sheet and a bottom sheet. How do you do that?
Well, thankfully, you could just write out the instructions, probably show him once, and he'll have it forever and be able yes. to do it perfectly.
And he did, because we just dropped him off again last week. And I gave him the sheets and he's like, it's the fitted one, right? I'm like, did you change your sheets at all last year? Because I'm really getting creeped out right now. That's gross. He's like, well, a couple times. And I'm like, how about we put that on the once a week plan?
Yeah. That's like the real.
Self-care, dude. Come on. That includes the sheets. Yeah, he's probably going to kill me for saying that. Okay. Well, hope he's not listening to my podcast.
There's room for improvement.
That's right. So I want you to tell everybody about your programs and what you do to help moms tackle this, achieve it, all of those things. Because if I had known about you 10 years ago, I'd have been feeling very confident in my abilities as a domestic engineer. And I am not, as my husband said, a domestic engineer.
Well, the good news is there's help. I have basically a suite of products for both types of moms. So I have something for the moms who really can't afford to bring in any help yet. And then I also have some offerings for the moms who are ready to start hiring people and just really don't know how to do that. You know, I have Smart Kids Chore System that will teach you how to get your kids doing chores. And I'm just going to be like straight up honest. I think whether you have someone coming in and helping you or not, your kids should be doing chores too. Absolutely. And that is honestly, that can be a big part of keeping the house cleaned up. You know, me personally, I don't have to do a lot of it because I have a million kids. And so we all kind of work together. And because of that, it's not a whole lot of work for any one person. So I have a system to teach you how to get your kids doing chores. I have a home management system called Home CEO. I even have a system teaching you how to get your kids cooking in the kitchen, helping out with meals and all of that stuff. Like it's just, you know, based around life skills, basically, because kids need to learn how to cook too. And so I have those, you know, all for the mom who just doesn't really have the finances yet to have someone coming in. And then I also offer a service where I can help you get the help that you need in your house. So we go through a big questionnaire together and figure out exactly where your biggest areas are that you need help. Like I have one person who her biggest pain points were basically getting the laundry done and getting meals cooked on during the week when she's working. Mm-hmm. And so that was when we started hiring help for her. Those were the two areas that we were trying to put out that fire first, because then it gave her room to breathe. You know, there's another lady that I've helped, and her biggest thing was clutter and organization. Like it was just, there was stuff everywhere all the time. And so we hired a professional organizer to come in and just get like a clean sweep, get everything in beautiful containers and labeled. So basically now she has an Instagram home. Wow. And then helping her to hire someone to maintain all of that. So I basically have an offering where I can basically hold your hand through the whole process, getting everybody trained, getting the, you know, the SOPs, the standard operating procedures, because that way you can hire, you know, someone who's in high school or someone who's in college who really doesn't know anything about home management, but can follow a checklist. You know, it's important to know what to do when. I'm a proponent of having a perpetually spring cleaned house. So like it always is spring cleaned around here. Like it always is that clean. But if you don't know what goes into that, you're not going to know how to task your help, you know, to get that stuff done. So, you know, you walk away with basically SOPs for the whole year of what needs to be done each week to keep your home in tip top shape. So it's basically white glove clean all the time. Yeah. But who doesn't want that, right? Like we don't want to do it ourselves, but we definitely want it.
Absolutely. And it's, I've only had this for a couple months now where they're coming, where she's coming more often. Like she's a member of my family now, but it's such a huge difference. I know like Mondays, and she comes Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, because those are my in office front days where I am mostly drained at the end. And I don't want her there Wednesday, Fridays, because those are my at home work days and I don't want to be around people. Right. So that's just me. But I know that when I have calls on Mondays, especially from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. solid, no break. And I do that to myself, but I know when I come home, my bed's going to be made, dinner's going to be there. I don't have to come home and do all the chores. I can walk the dog if I want, but she's probably already done that too. And I could just be.
Yeah.
And I can fall into bed, not just like dying. Like,
right. Bed. Yeah. You come home and you can actually recharge instead of feeling even worse.
Yeah. And your checklist, I mean, top notch. So tell everybody what your website is. And I'm also going to put it in the show notes.
Yeah. So you can find me at freedommoms.com and everything's there. The checklist, the chore systems, or you can book a call to talk about more intense one-on-one work to get you where you need to be.
I love it. Like I said, everybody needs you and every mom needs you. So thank you so much for coming on Couch Time with me. And I appreciate it very much.
It was fun.
Okay, that wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.